This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. A couple of losses last night, unfortunately, and the New York Knicks fall to the 76ers, series now 2-1, and you wanted to talk about our guy, our superstar, Jalen Brunson last night.
Pretty much played the whole entire game, 39 points, 13 rebounds, shot a little bit better, didn't shoot so good from 3 points, but, you know, he also had, I think he had 12 free throws. I think he made all his free throws. So, to me, that you talking about Embiid being the MVP Embiid, which we saw last night, and also the dirty MVP Embiid, as he should have been given a flagrant, too. I don't give a crap what anybody says. You're on your ass, and you're pulling a guy down as he's going up to shoot. If that's not a flagrant, too, then I don't know what is, especially when the guy gets hurt.
Yeah, so if what happened didn't happen in game two, where they had to come out with a 2-minute report and all that nonsense, is that a flagrant two in game three? And my answer is yes.
I agree 100%. Now, again, I don't want to get stuck talking about officials. I hate doing that. I know I do it with the Rangers, especially game one against the Capitals when Kelly Sutherland is, you know, blowing every whistle possible and giving every stupid penalty possible. And you're like, you know, come on, Snowflake, let him play the game. But then again, you know, you come back the next game and, you know, Tom Wilson almost takes off Panarin's head, or TJ Oshie almost takes off Panarin's head with a stick, and there's no call. So there's obviously obvious foul calls that have to be called. There's obviously penalty calls that have to be called in hockey. And this thing last night, I mean, I don't care. And, I saw Joel Embiid's comments after the game. And I'm like, I don't care what happened to you or what happened somewhere else in your career.
Yeah.
All I care about is what happened in the moment and you lost your cool and you hurt a Knick player. Now, I would also say when you watch that play, Embiid gets knocked to the ground.
Yeah, by Ananobi with the elbow.
With the elbow. So I can understand why he's upset, because this is hard. It's hard basketball. They're playing intense. DiVincenzo, Hart, and Brunson are intense players. Ananobi's an intense player. Hey, Precious Achiuwa got in there last night and had a couple buckets. You know, the only reason he's in there is because they're running out of players if Mitchell Robinson's not playing.
I actually got a text from former WFAN producer James Ward that said, I think Boomer's going to get his Achiuwa moment tonight.
Yeah, I did. And he only played 10 minutes. I don't know what the issue is.
You
there.
Are now synonymous with Precious Achiuwa. That's like your muse.
And why did I say that? Because I felt like he was a big reason why the Knicks were able to win 50 games this year when guys got hurt. And I just want people to be able to continue to have skin in the game. And sitting on the end of the bench, you know, until somebody gets hurt is not the way to reward somebody who actually played his ass off for you when the game still mattered.
Yeah. Now, Mitchell Robinson,
I would
expect to not see him anytime soon. That's been the history of his career. He gets hurt, he doesn't generally come back quickly. And him leaving in a walking boot is bad news. I hope he can play through it. I hope he can come back. He does have a couple of days off, as it's Sunday afternoon for game four, but not having him in this series, how great he played in the first couple of games, especially in game one, is horrible. I mean, in the way that it happened, too, on a dirty play, you know, this is like, this now has turned in the way that like a hockey series has turned. There was a big hit or a dirty play or a high stick or a fight. Like, that's sort of what happened here. Is that sort of like the, what was it, the Penguins and the Rangers and the Adam Graves, the slashing situation back in the day?
Yeah, there was also one not too long ago where the Rangers were down, I want to say 3-1, and came back and won. And there was something happened in game five, I think. And all of a sudden it switched.
Right.
But that's what happens.
Doesn't it feel like that, though, with this dirty play with Embiid and hurting a guy? It's like, and now it may end up working out for the 76ers, but if the Knicks have to be so pissed off, and I'm telling you, they are the better team. They might not have as much talent. They are the better team in this series, hands down. And it sucks that Mitchell Robinson might not play, but they are going to come in, and I don't think they're losing another game in the series.
Let me just tell you something.
And I'm not touching the money. I believe in them. I trust them. They're going to come out with a freaking vengeance.
There are three guys in that team, and they're all the Villanova guys. And, you know, they don't back down from anybody. I mean, just wish one of those guys was, like, you know, 6'11". It's too bad that they're all under 6'5".
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what they are? They're tough. And they're on our team. And, you know, that was a rough game last night. You could have said that Ananobi shoulder to the solar plexus of Joel Embiid, that could have been a flagrant one.
Yeah, for sure. But
that's why he was pissed, because his ass was on the ground. He got knocked over. There was no call. And, you know, the next thing you know.
And there was the CBS Sports Network also playing the for the fourth quarter, the big caboose shot that Embiid did on Ananobi with a minute 15 to go.
And how did they not call that? So,
well, because
all the bitching and complaining that went on in the game, in the two games that were at the Garden by the 76ers, ended up working, because it showed itself last night.
Yeah, and it just makes you nuts to know that a dirty play could end up affecting the rest of the Knicks playoffs.
Why don't you just put Jericho Sims in there and just let him hack the crap out of him?
Yeah. I mean, like a Matt Rempe situation?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's sort of been like that. I mean, you saw...
That was 90s basketball, by the way.
Oh, for sure, and that's great. And, you know, Embiid, when he says we're going to win the series and comes out and has the 50-point performance and... even though he was dirty as hell, I mean, he was doing absolutely everything he could to win the basketball game, so I half respect him and then half don't with the nonsense that he pulled on Mitchell Robinson. But is he... So he had his big game. He had his 50-point game. Is he going to continue that the rest of this series? He's known as a guy that doesn't stay healthy. He's known as a guy who doesn't consistently perform in the postseason, and I believe he's going to remain that guy.
Step on his foot.
I think the Knicks win in five. This is not a touch the money thing.
How is it not a touch the money thing?
What do you want me to do? Not believe in them?
I believe in them.
I think the Sixers are babies. The Sixers are dirty. The Embiid is a complete a-hole for what he did last night. Nick Nurse is a total wuss bag. And the Knicks are as tough and resilient and as good as I've seen them in decades. We've been saying the same thing over and over again. They are going to come out after this bull crap last night, and they're going to win in Philadelphia, and then they're going to win game five at the Garden, and it's going to be rocking and crazy and going to send those idiots packing. That's exactly what's going to happen.
All right. Well.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it doesn't matter. What I say has no impact on what's going to happen on the court. I can guarantee you that. But I'm not going to sit here now and cower.
You're not going to take it.
I'm not going to take it.
Now,
no!
You know what you should do? We should get Spike around here today, possibly?
No.
Because if he was, we should just bring him in here and ragdoll him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Philadelphia sports
guy. We could really hurt him, though. You know, he's got that new hip. He's so thin.
Kick him right in the hip.
I mean, we could really end... his days of running, if we wanted to.
Al, do you think you could take Spike now with the new hip?
I'd work the hip for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just go right for the hip.
That's what we got to do. I mean, honestly, if this is going to be allowed, you got to take it out on somebody. And it's not going to be John Ritchie, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that is true. And John Ritchie, of course, another host at WIP there in Philadelphia. Yeah, you're going to see Spike twice. Two more times you're going to see him. You're going to see him Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see him Friday.
You know,
and
actually,
you're never going to see him again after.
Actually, if this doesn't go the way it should go, somebody could be getting thrown into a garbage can.
Yeah, on Friday. You just make sure you get all tuned up.
Got it.
And just take care of business.
You know it. He's got a bad hip, though. I feel bad.
But you won't feel bad when you're three quarters deep in a Reposado bottle.
Oh, man.
You're not going to feel bad at all.
Just let the Villanova Knicks do their thing, and they're going to win.
No, but like after the meet and greet, that's the time.
That's the time? Like when it's all over, the last time we see him ever?
Right.
All right. Spike said he's going to let loose that night. He said that he doesn't, the last Boomer and Geo Lives, he was so nervous and didn't want to have even a single drink, and he was just so wound so tight. But then, you know, since he quit on us, he doesn't feel like he has to be as tuned in. So,
right.
So, like, he said he's going to let loose, going to have a couple drinks, so.
And I wonder if, like, because after the first one, he kind of, I don't know if he said it to you, Al, but he kind of implied that I had too much to drink before the show.
Oh, yeah, he did. He said that to all of us.
So I wonder if now does he still care?
No.
Like, should I get tuned up before the show?
Yeah. No, he doesn't care. He was very worried at the Paramount that we were going to have a repeat, and Boomer was teetering, but he nailed it.
I wasn't teetering.
You were teetering.
But he kind of killed my buzz pregame. You know?
Wait, time out.
You were teetering.
I was not teetering about anything.
No, you were nowhere near the alcohol poisoning level that you were before.
But you were getting close.
Yeah, but you know, you guys got to remember, that was because of one specific reason.
Because you drank too much.
Okay, Eddie. It was Good Friday, and the Holland Tunnel was open in the middle of the afternoon. So that got me over to White Eagle Hall
with about an hour and a half to kill.
Yeah,
right. And the only way to kill that hour and a half is to suck down tequila
and hit
you
jam
were right
crackers
next to me,
and people.
I know I was, but
you
I finished
were right
the show.
Next to me.
I was on the stage when it ended.
I would have finished the show if you hadn't had ranch dressing all over the freaking stage.
But it's an iconic moment, though, man. It worked out great. It really did. It people got a chance to see something they never saw before, which was you sliding around on the stage.
Hey, you know, a lot of people have seen that out at the the talk house.
Yeah,
come on.
It was awesome.
You know, like that at the VU, the precinct, the waterfront, Boom.
Yeah, the more I think about this Boomer and Geo Live 3, it has real off-the-rails potential because Spike was so, like, just anal about everything these first two shows, and he is not going to give two craps about this one. He is so far out the door.
Yeah, like, even in the meetings, he's like, yeah, we'll be fine. We're good.
Right, he's typing out his open.
He knows that he can count on us.
Right, there would be like ideas that are not good, and everyone's like, yeah, like it'd be like, what if we just had two cups on a stage and Boomer kicked one? Yes, let's go with that.
You know, Spike's like, yeah, just Emily, you can get those cups. All right, good. And he starts just typing out his open.
You know what? I will say right now on this radio station and into this microphone that I will not physically abuse Spike Eskin in any way, shape, or form. Because I am aware 100% of his new hip. Just so you understand that.
It's easy to say now, man. But if things... Oh, there's Spike coming out as Wendy.
Yes.
At the Boomer Geo Live at the Paramount, the Holiday Edition.
Spike's punishment.
That's right, because he didn't think we were going to sell it out. Look at little Boomer in the back, just loitering.
Little Boomer just hanging there, yes.
Oh, it's the best. Yes, so you say that now. However... Let's say the Sixers come back in this series. He shows up with some Philadelphia paraphernalia. Dare I say, maybe he throws on a Flyers jersey, and then something just hits you the wrong way. Spike could be thrown into the crowd.
Yeah, I know, but the thing about it is, that would be him inciting me. Then now it's his fault. Like, I basically said, I'm not doing anything. I understand. But if he now incites me, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. I understand what you're saying.
So you see the difference.
Yeah.
I'm totally understand. I get it. You got a new hip. You're very skinny anyway. You probably weigh about 120. I don't want to be inside it. That's all.
Okay. Let's go to Richie in Old Bridge. What's going on, Richie?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, man. What you got for us today?
All right. A quick question about the Jets yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My wife is a big Viking fan, just like you, JL.
Yeah.
And I understand why they moved up that spot, just in case someone else wanted to trade with the Jets to get J.J. McCarthy.
Well.
But what I can't understand, how can the Jets pass on him when they have Aaron Rodgers for one more year? What's his the guy that used to play with the Giants last year?
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor is their backup. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, here's a franchise that picked their last two picks in the first round, second and third, and they're busts as quarterbacks. And they have a guy that's playing for the won the national championship, and they pass on him. I don't get them.
I'm gonna tell you what's going on here. They're all in for this year. They have to win this year. If they don't win this year, they're all going to be gone. It's just the reality of it. And you have to understand that they want to make sure, at least Joe Douglas wants to make sure, that he has depth on the offensive line. They want to protect Aaron. They have more than enough playmakers. And by the way, they still have a ton of draft picks. You know, they did a good job getting like a couple of these draft picks back and everything. So, look, it's one player in one moment in time. And the player that they took was an offensive tackle because they want to make sure that if something goes haywire, which it always does for all of these teams, that they have somebody there of significance. And that's why they took the tackle. And quite frankly, if you ask me, the new regime down there in Atlanta, that didn't include Bill Belichick, by the way, decided to take their future quarterback now. Why? Because they believe that they have a good team right now, that they're going to win with Kirk Cousins, and then that kid can sit for a couple years. Now, Cousins signed a four-year deal, which we probably know it's probably a three-year deal at most.
Yep.
And if Penix is ready to roll and something happens where Kirk is not 100%, then they have their quarterback in-house. But that's one. There's a coaching staff and a front office here that has to win this year. They have to win.
Yeah, and there's no way, as you mentioned, the Penix situation. Remember what happened with Aaron Rodgers and the Jordan Love pick that year?
Yeah. And look at what Jordan Love's turned out to be.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that Aaron Rodgers was so pissed off about that because he felt like they weren't using the last years of his career in an intelligent way to help him win, and they were setting up and getting his replacement. There was no way in hell the Jets were considering a quarterback at number 10, 11.
Where no, not right now. And the other thing, too, is remember, when the Packers did that, that was the new regime that came in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of like what Atlanta's doing. So Atlanta is using the Green Bay model.
Whoa! Yeah.
So that's what Atlanta did. Me and Al were kind of on that.
Well, you guys were. Yeah, but more than anybody else. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Friday night, I'm on my way home. They ought to make work a crime.
Feel Good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got another update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
We are brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Winters Bros for help with your next cleanup or construction project. Visit wintersbros.com. Last hour started with the Knicks. We'll start with the NFL draft this hour. No surprise, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May to the Bears, to Washington, to the Patriots, 1-2-3. At 6, the Giants got themselves LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. He was on SNY. He says, very cool hearing from the Giants.
I got the call from Dayball, you know, GM, you know, and a lot of those other guys that was there, you know, when I went on my visit.
A lot of other guys. Very cool. Guys,
you know, yeah. I wonder how J.J. McCarthy feels about Dayball now.
You know, you think he's a liar or something?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you told me I was coming. I met with the Giants. I was meeting with the Giants. Everybody had me going to the Giants, and now all of a sudden he's a Viking fan. But Kevin O'Connell, the coach there, said that he's very happy to be a Viking.
Yeah. You know, I was, as I mentioned, talked to Chris Hogan, played in the NFL, and I said, what do you think of J.J. McCarthy? And he goes, that guy ran the best campaign I've ever seen in my life in the draft. He goes, he should have never been picked where he was picked. And him and his team ran. He said he laid out the playbook for every quarterback that shouldn't be drafted that high for the rest of time.
It's funny you talk about what they tell each other.
Yes.
This was Dave Canales, the new head coach of the Panthers.
The porn addict.
Yes, that is very true. Wrote a book about it, I believe. That's true. Him and his wife. That's right.
It's like I saw the video of Leggett saying that he's met with you guys four or five times, and yeah, you guys have told him if he's there at 33, you're taking him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, it was a great conversation. You know, I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys.
So lots of lying. Yes, exactly. To that point, what you were talking about. Anyway, here's more neighbors. So he talks about getting the call from the coach. He was asked what the interaction was like.
It was a great interaction. Dayball loves me.
Dayball loves everybody.
I guess so.
Not true.
Well, it does sound like he does love him.
He didn't love that special teams coach.
Was that?
He didn't love Wink.
He didn't love Wink. Didn't love that special teams coach.
Yeah, but he loves everybody else.
Right.
Oh, you could. This is. It's like Shiv Spot USA.
Well, yeah, that's it.
It's what it is.
Worse and worse every year.
Here he is on Neighbors.
I think he's a fantastic player. Got a lot of good attributes, starting with his personality, his demeanor of competitive stamina, toughness. You know, he's a dog on the field.
There you go.
See, I'm talking about the like competitive, the competitive fire. That's what they're all looking for in every position.
I know you were a Dunze guy.
I am.
A Neighbors guy. I love the fact that he's a Giant. I think he's going to be awesome. These LSU wide receivers have been just revelations in the NFL, and I think the Giants got another one. So it's going to be, and they desperately needed someone like
this.
They
haven't had 1,000-yard receivers since Odell did it back in 2018, I believe. And then, you know, look, Rome Odunze went to a great place. Everybody had him pegged going to Chicago with the 9th pick. Everybody had Chicago with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, and they got Keenan Allen for one more year. So then Odunze will then step in to be more of a starting role. But think about their wide receivers that they can throw out there. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
Man, that division is loaded. And J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings.
Perfect. Well, with Sam Darnold probably to start.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kirk Cousins was ticked off last night, and see? Sam Darnold's probably fired up.
Oh, yeah. Like, great, they drafted the kid who sucks. I'm definitely going to start every game.
On the Jets side of things, they took offensive tackle Olu Fashanu from Penn State. This is a little long, but this was Rob Saleh talking about the veterans that can kind of help bring him along.
Yeah, no, it's going to be valuable. Tyron is we've gotten to know him and seen these first 2 weeks. Elite human. I feel like he's the first one in. Anytime I'm in the building, I feel like I see him. It's hard to miss him. Gargantuan of a human being, but he's an elite human, and he's gonna. There's between him and Morgan just so much wealth and knowledge. And
I mean, elite human twice. That's pretty good.
If Olu Fashion was an elite human, or Tyron Smith's an elite human, what's Joe Beningo to Rob Saleh? Is that an elite human as well? You think?
I can think of a few other descriptive words.
Good question. Here was Fashanu, what he brings to the table.
I feel like I bring a lot of toughness, a lot of grit. And for me, most importantly, I feel like one of my best assets is consistency, you know, on the field. You know, never take any plays off, always give them my all.
And so, I think he'll be here for a long, long time, you would think. Now, your Vikings did take J.J. McCarthy. They also took Dallas Turner in the first, linebacker out of Alabama. He had his mom there. Laura Rutledge on ESPN was doing the interviews. A little bit of trouble with his mom's name at first.
Tony, you've been out here cheering. I need another Vikings cheer, okay?
Tanya.
Oh, sorry.
Tony.
One of our tape ops that told her that.
You know, Jerry,
Tanya,
that's funny.
You know, it is very funny. It's funny. Very funny. What I love about you, though, I mean, really, honestly, if there is somebody makes a mistake, he's going to find it.
You not like, want me to play it?
No, it's funny. No, I do.
These clips are all over the place.
That was funny.
Then you've got Jaguars taking LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas. His mom was also there. She also spoke with Laura Rutledge. It's fair to say his mom took the question a little literal.
Sandra, how far has his family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That's just the best. That's just the best.
it was like a 12-hour drive.
I wonder why that hit me so. That is really funny. The question is whose drive was worse? Theirs to the draft or yours home last night UBS on the Sudden State? Pretty bad. Father and son fighting.
I need words.
Funny stuff. And then the Falcons did choose Michael Penix. Here was Rich Eisen and whoever was on set with him on NFL Network reacting to the pick.
I still can't believe the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. It has nothing to do. I am such a huge fan of that kid. I want nothing but success for him. He is incredible. But they just signed Kirk Cousins to a 9-figure deal.
I just reached out to his agent, Mike McCartney. I'm sure Ian's talked to him as well, but he was not given a heads up. Kirk Cousins was not given really a heads up on this whole thing.
You know what's amazing is that you just heard how it works behind the scenes. They call the agents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the agents are the ones that give all, the information, what they think the information is and everything else. I mean, the kid's a great kid. They're setting themselves up for the future. This is a hopefully a coaching staff that will stay together the next 8, 9, 10 years, and they'll have success both with Kirk Cousins and with Michael Penix.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins himself could not be upset. I mean, the agent has to stick up for him, but Kirk Cousins is such
But he believes in God.
Well, that's what I'm going
to
say.
And to support your fellow human beings.
It's a God's plan thing for him.
And look, if there is an elite human being, it would be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I mean, he was probably watching the draft eat communion wafers last night on his couch.
You know, he's elite. That guy's an elite human being.
Yep.
With salsa or without?
Imagine.
Kirk Cousins. Probably gluten-free.
Dipped communion wafers into queso. That'd be something else.
One other thing from the NFL. The Eagles gave A.J. Brown a 3-year extension worth around $95 million. I didn't see the guaranteed money, but I imagine it's a lot. The Knicks last night and the Sixers in Philadelphia. You had the Joel Embiid flagrant one on Mitchell Robinson in the first quarter. Very chippy in that first quarter. They had a handful of reviews. Knicks led at the half, but in the third quarter, Philadelphia and Embiid pulled away.
Embiid wide open. Another 3-pointer. That's good. That's just too easy for the big man. And he's got 27.
27, and he was approximately halfway to what he was going to end up with. 50 points last night on 13 of 19 shooting. Hit 5 threes, 19 free throws. Mike Breen, MSG, the call. 125-114, the final, as Philly does beat New York. Here was Josh Hart first talking about that flagrant one on Mitchell Robinson.
I'm all for tough fouls or playoff fouls, but that's something that can put a guy out for, a significant amount of time.
And we don't know if Mitchell Robinson will miss the next game, but we do know he did leave the arena in a walking boot.
He tackled him. Let's face it, he tackled him.
Yeah.
That's no question. Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Here was Isaiah Hartenstein in terms of the actual play by Embiid going for 50. He knows that is not good enough.
I mean, the biggest thing is the free throws. I mean, that gets in the rhythm. But just playing more team defense, I mean, 6 threes. Most of them were contested.
I can't even hear him. He also did reveal he's dealing with Bell's palsy on the one side of his face. We found that out after the game as well. Embiid.
Huh. Really?
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep, here was Kelly.
That's something that obviously gets correct. It's not.
That's what I thought. And he said permanent. Possibly not.
I don't think it. Remember
Ralph Kiner? Yeah. But I thought I don't know. Bell's palsy. Can you get rid of it or not? I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Here's Kelly Oubre Jr. on NBC Sports Philly. Says Embiid really got us going.
It gives us no excuses, man. We got to go out here and, you know, commit to winning. We got to trust the process, no pun intended. And then, you know, just take that momentum and that energy that he's given us and, you know, go out there and give it our all.
And,
not Oubre, how puns work, but we'll let it go.
And then lastly from this, just remember all the conversation about Jalen Brunson hasn't got going yet. The Knicks were winning. Well, last night they lost, and Brunson had 39 points and 13 assists. He says his individual performance, not important.
I'm not really worried about what I did. Our team lost a game where we gave up 43 points in the third quarter, so... my main focus is how we can be adjust to that.
Outscored 43-27.
How do you not love this kid?
By the way, you would love the newest of his Brunson and Hart roommates podcast.
Yeah.
Their guest this week is Clyde Frazier.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cool, actually.
So they're looking back and they're remembering the history of the Knicks and the great Knick teams and Clyde and how great he was. And that's exactly what, you know, Jalen Brunson, that's how he plays the game.
Mm-hmm.
Goes in there, he needs a three-point play. Sometimes he doesn't shoot the three-pointer. He goes into the lane, gets a guy up, and you saw it last night. Gets a guy up in the air, jumps into him, puts the ball in the hoop, and then hits the free throw for the 3 points. I mean, he is the closest thing to Clyde that we've had. Really.
Yeah,
the way he plays.
I can't argue that.
This guy is fearless. He's a great leader. It's one of the great signings by the Knicks. It really is.
Game 4 Sunday in Philadelphia. Meantime, the Lakers were trying to jump back into their series with the Nuggets. The problem was Nikola Jokic. 24 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. Just one of the problems they had. Nuggets beat L.A. 112-105. LeBron just tips his cap.
I mean, you give credit what credit is due with Denver as well. Man, those guys make... tough shot after tough shot after tough shot, and I think I saw a lot of things that happened in the third for
and
sure
we,
tonight.
We talk about Brunson. I mean, LeBron and Anthony Davis, numbers-wise, played great last night. They can't hang with these guys, so they're down 3 games tonight.
Anybody find the Jokic brothers? Are they still on the run?
Well, look at that shot. I mean, some of these replays, I didn't see any of this game last night, but some of the replays, watching some of these shots they're making?
Pretty stupid. Yep. And the Magic beat the Cavaliers 121-83. Paolo Banchero had 31 points, 14 rebounds. So that's a 2-1 series there. The Yankees had a million guys on base and really got none of them in aside from one. They lost to the A's 3-1. Here is Jose Trevino. Yeah, we want to do better, of course.
I mean, I think we left the bases loaded a couple times, yeah. So, I mean, we want to get the big hit. So, I mean, it'd be good. But, you know, guys are stringing good at-bats together. Guys are, you know, going deep into counts.
Sounds like Volpe does.
Just how it's going right now.
Yeah, it does. Yep.
I'll tell you what, Cortez pitched pretty good, too, as well.
He did. He only gave up the two home... I mean, only. But he gave up the two home runs in the one
inning. And that was it.
And he wound up going 7 innings, but not good enough as the Yankees fall to 17-9. Now a half game behind Baltimore. The Orioles didn't play.
Is this a transition spot here?
Transition spot?
Yeah.
It could be.
You know, where Baltimore's now in front of the Yankees?
Yeah, and just stays there for the rest of the year, you're saying?
Could this be the moment?
Could very well be. I mean, we're still in April, but it could be.
Yankees go to Milwaukee now over the weekend starting tonight. We will have the game on the fan at 8:10. Luis Gil the start there. Mets home for the Cardinals. J.D. Martinez expected in the lineup. Jose Buto the start on WCBS 880. And the Islanders are in a tough spot. They fell to the Hurricanes 3-2. They're down 3-0. Anders Lee says it best.
Start with one. Let's regroup here. Play another good hockey game, put ourselves in a position to take it back to Carolina and go from there. Can't win 4 in a row tomorrow or the next day.
Nope. Can only take them one at a time.
The thing about it is that they've actually played them tough, man. They have played Carolina tough. They have. I mean, it's a 3-0 series lead for Carolina. They are good. They are fast. They are deep. They're getting good goaltending from Freddie, but, I mean, Islanders have been in every one of these games.
You know what's funny is the two periods that they played in game two when they had the 3-goal lead was probably the worst two periods they played in the entire
season. I would agree with that.
They had a 3-goal lead.
Yeah, and they had a 3-goal lead. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they threw everything they had. And I think it's easy for me to say this now, but I think if Varlamov started the game last night, they would have won. Sorokin had his head up his ass the first period.
You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, because obviously you have Patrick Waugh, one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. And he knows that position better than anybody. He knows the mindset better than anybody. And I guess he decided that he just wanted to give Varlamov maybe a little bit of a break and hopefully catch lightning in a bottle with Sorokin. And that's the game you play. And he ultimately pulls Sorokin. But Sorokin, I'm sure, is not happy about that.
No. But
he's just trying to get he was just trying to get his team fired up and back in the game. And actually, it started to work.
It did work. Bell's palsy. Most people recover, fully recover from Bell's palsy. So that's your answer. I'm sure a million people called Al once we brought that up.
Or he's probably talking to them now.
Yeah.
And you got game three for the Rangers tonight in Washington.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
This is confusing to me.
Yeah, this is a big new country song using Rebel Rebel.
Interesting.
Lick. Yeah.
Because, I was like, that's sad. I mean, what is going on? But I like it.
Good.
Did you like my Shaboozy song?
Love it.
It's one of my favorites. What is Shaboozy? I didn't know what you guys are talking about. Sorry.
Shaboozy is a country artist.
Okay.
So he, you remember the song, Everybody in the Club Getting Tipsy? You know that one?
No.
That was a very famous club song a few years ago.
I'm sure if I heard it,
so he used,
I would know it.
He used that riff and made a like half hip-hop, half country song.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You wanna, should we save it for later, or you want to play a little bit of it now?
We can do whatever you want. Here you go.
This is Shaboozy.
My baby born a Birkin. She's been telling me all night long. Gasoline and groceries. The list goes on and on. It's 9 to 5 ain't working. Why the hell do I work so hard? I can't worry about my problems. I can't take them when I'm gone. Here comes the 2 to the 3 to the 4.
That kind of sounds like every other country song.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
And I love country, you know that.
Wait, just.
Good Lord.
There you go.
Shaboozy.
They know me and Jack Daniels got a history.
This is good lyrics.
Okay.
Everybody at the bar getting tipsy.
I'm surprised you don't love this.
I do like it.
Yes, I might end up didn't like it.
So here we go.
It does.
Kind of does.
I disagree.
Because
he's got like a different voice, doing like almost like an auto-tune.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like typical modern country.
Have you heard the country version of Blinding Lights by Weeknd? The Weeknd.
The Weeknd's doing country?
No, he's not. There's a country version of that song.
No, I have not heard that.
It is awesome.
Huh. We are really, we're moving.
We're rocking and roll. We'll play that, too.
This is like the golden age.
You should probably take a call or two.
You know who sings it, Boom?
I want to say Tebby. T-E-B-E-Y.
Yes, we'll take your Nick's calls. But this is now, like, country has gone straight mainstream. It's gone crazy.
We're there. Well, we got it started. You and Jordan Davis in a boat party.
Right, that was it. And now you got Beyonce actually decided to make her country album then when she saw that.
You made fun of me when I was playing One Margarita by Luke Bryan.
I was not making fun of you.
I mean, that was our theme song for Feel Good Friday. Whatever happened to that?
Well, it's for the summer.
Yeah, it's a summer feel.
Oh, I get it. All right, good.
Yeah.
You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine.
Let's go to John and Tom's River. What's going on, John?
What's up, gentlemen? How's everything going?
All right, John. What's happening, brother?
Listen, I just wanted to add one thing, man. I love the golf stories, and I keep it up, buddy, because one day you're going to be on that, too. You'll be like Boomer, where everything just clicks, man. It comes. It takes a little time, but it'll come.
I appreciate that, John.
Hey, listen, Mitchell Robinson, what do you think? Willis Reed spot?
Willis Reed spot would be awesome, you know, John.
Willis was the captain, so it's everybody calm down.
But you know what?
I know what he's talking about.
You can't take it literally. Like, I mean, just if he comes out there, because he's beloved. Everybody likes each other on his team.
They're playing the Lakers and everything.
I mean, it was the NBA Finals. I know. Not the same scale. But him after Embiid, that dirty schlub face, pulls him down and rips his ankle apart. If he comes out there after the walking boot and like limps a little bit and then like gets out there and blocks a shot in the first quarter.
And then walks off with a broken foot, that'd be perfect.
No.
You got to remember, Willis was out there for like, that was the Clyde game. That was Clyde's greatest game ever.
Yeah.
I think it was 8 years old at the time.
Yeah.
That was his greatest game ever, man.
Was it 1936?
Yeah, okay. Funny. But I was telling Al and Eddie that we were talking about Michael Penix Jr. being picked by the Atlanta Falcons. And I told Al, I said, you know, Al, someday we're all going to be somewhere. Al will be in Bradley Beach patrolling the streets. Eddie may be down in the Keys. At that time, you'll be playing, you know, Augusta, or you'll be in New Zealand playing golf or something.
New Zealand.
I'll be chilling somewhere on a golf course or on a beach or something. And Michael Penix Jr. is going to win the MVP and win a Super Bowl. And we'll all be thinking about this specific day.
Interesting.
At the same time, thinking, man, we saw something in that kid.
We did. As a program.
And he'll probably end up beating J.J. McCarthy in the NFC Championship game, because that's what the Vikings do. They lose NFC Championship games.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
In dramatic and horrible fashion.
Yes.
Let's go to Shirley in Poughkeepsie. What's going on, Shirley?
Hi, guys. I'm a Warriors fan, but I watched that game last night, and I'm rooting for the Knicks to win this series because that Embiid thing was so dirty. And I think the Knicks should try to get him suspended, because when Draymond merely flailed at LeBron in 2016, he got suspended. And when Dylan Brooks broke GP2's elbow in 2022, he got suspended. I mean, what is this guy like, such a superstar that he's untouchable or something?
You're not talking about when Draymond Green got suspended in the finals against the Cavs when they were down 3-1, the Cavaliers. You're saying he just merely flailed at LeBron? Kicked a guy square in his ball sack.
He didn't hit LeBron.
Yeah, I know, but you said he merely flailed at LeBron. I mean, he got suspended because he kicked the guy in the junk.
No, he did that series.
We'll go back and we'll do it.
I will say this, that Shirley is a very in-tune basketball fan, I could tell.
Yeah.
But the Knicks, I mean, remember the 76ers were filing grievances or protests or whatever the hell you call it after the first two games in Madison Square Garden, because they felt like the calls were all going against them and everything. They're bitching and complaining. They're not going to suspend Embiid. They're just not going to. I mean, it's a dirty play. He knows it. We all know it. The league knows it. He should have been given a flagrant 2 last night. And, you know, then we'd be over with them. We'd be screaming and yelling about it again. You know, they would be screaming and yelling about it down in Philadelphia. But there's nothing that's going to be done. The only thing that can be done is go out and win a game. You know, the Rangers need Matt Rempe for the Rangers. They can't give him to the Knicks. You know what I mean? Although, could you imagine? He is 6'8".
Yeah, I mean, can we borrow him? Is that possible?
No, they'd be playing on the same day on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's unbecoming of a superstar to do that.
Yeah.
And why is he doing? I know he's a little bit nutty at times, and I know he had just received, right prior to that, a shoulder to the solar plexus from Ananobi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably what precipitated this whole thing and got him angry. And that's why he did what he did.
Listen, Joel Embiid, he has done two things that the sports gods will punish him for.
There you go. Now we're talking. You're talking my language now.
Two things.
Okay.
One, he touched the money and he gave a half-ass guarantee with his head down, right? And it
was it a Messier guarantee?
No. Not even close. And he played dirty. So you do those two things, you touch the money and you play dirty,
it's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Damn right. That's why the Knicks are winning in 5.
All right. Okay.
And listen, Shirley is a Warriors fan. She's going to defend Draymond Green. You cannot tell me that Draymond Green did not deserve a suspension in the NBA Finals.
Draymond Green should probably be suspended like 18 times in his career.
Now, that whole thing, like, that changed NBA history, that suspension, in my opinion. Because
it gave the Cavs a chance to win.
Yes, and it put that loss had got Kevin Durant to the Warriors, too. So, but that suspension was as warranted as any suspension in the history of the NBA.
And, you know, we by the way, we highlighted MB sticking his ass out at the end of the game in an illegal pick. And Ray finally has something that I think I saw last night as well, but I didn't know if I saw what I saw. But, Ray, what do you got?
During the first, good morning, gentlemen, I'm sorry. During the first quarter, Joel Embiid came running down, ran into Hertzschneider, threw an elbow that kneed him in his cojones,
yeah.
And he went down. That's an automatic flagrant two. Should have been gone.
Yeah.
All of game one, game two, he's throwing elbows, pushed, and throws his butt out every time he sets a pick. Where's the foul? They're complaining the Knicks are doing it. He's been doing it all three games and 10 times worse. Has to go both ways.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think that Joel...
You know what's amazing? You watch that. We just watched that replay.
Yeah.
Late in the game, Knicks down by 7. Sixers take the ball in.
Yeah.
And Embiid backs into... I don't know.
Was it was OG.
It was OG, okay. Yeah. And the referee is standing right there looking at it.
I'm telling you that I think that Joel Embiid is so smart that he knew he could get away with just about anything in this game because of what happened in game two. I think that he pushed the limits as far as he could and said, you really going to call fouls on me? You really going to F this thing up again? You got two involved in game two, and I'm going to just knee people in the nuts. I'm going to back into people. I'm going to pull people down and throw me out of the game. See how that goes. You already got all eyes on you with the 2 minute report. Then, you know, I'm just going to be just knocking everybody down. Throw me out of the game.
But you also remember he had the ball in his hands and he pushed DiVincenzo away.
Yeah,
remember that whole thing. So here's the deal: you'd love to have Embiid playing on your team, playing like this.
Oh yeah,
but when you're playing against him and you're watching all of these different things that are going on and how many different dirty plays he has actually gotten away with. I mean, after a while, I guess the referee's like, I can't call every penalty, can I? Yeah, you can when they're obvious.
Damn right.
Foul him out of the game.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.